See, there are times in our lives that God will just allow things to happen that we don't like. Right? All right. Who knows what God can do with something you don't like? And many, many times, the Holy Spirit gives us a word and we don't pay attention to it. But back in October 3rd, 09, it says the planet revolves around the sun as it was intended from creation of the universe. My chosen few have my son, Jesus, as their center. And I say to you today, those chosen few will walk amongst the lowly and will, with a touch from you, they will be raised higher than they have ever known. Your eyes will see those in need, and when your eyes meet, you will know exactly what they need. Your feet will walk in those places of confusion, and everything will be made clear. Continue to keep my son as your center, and all will be done as prophesied this day. Now, do you think that word has changed from that time? No, it's the same message. And sometimes we think that we're buckets of water being emptied out and nobody's going to fill us back up. Amen? And that's what I got out of the message that, you know, when things are just like, oh my God, I feel so empty. Or I'm almost dead. You know, just think and put yourself in Lazarus's shoes for a moment. Just close your eyes. Now, he's as sick as any puppy can be. He's got the girls, go tell Jesus, please. And the girls send a messenger. And he's aware of that. And he's probably saying to his own heart, doesn't he care? Where in the world is he? Why is he waiting for me to die? Is he really saying all these things about me that he loves? And then now, when I need him the most, he's gone! And he sits there. And the breathing gets worse. The energy level gets lower. Until he's totally discouraged and says, you know what, God? I know you're real. You sent your son, but he sure ain't coming to me.
And he waits, and he enters the other realm. And then I believe, like in a vision form, he sees Jesus saying to his disciples, you know, he's just sleeping. And he's listening. As a cloud in the heavens is aware of things below. I believe he was aware of things below. And the Father would say to him, would you just wait? Would you be patient? I've got a plan. And obviously you know that a few days later, he hears a voice calling him back into his body, which by now stinks. Recognize. You can't have the resurrection without the death. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
I want to take you with me on a little journey this morning. Because last week, we talked about Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His abilities. Well, how can I do that when I've got no hope for tomorrow? when I really believe that
I have just died, like Lazarus, he might have even had a glimpse of his own body.
Wrapped up with all those great clothes. Sealed behind a huge stone. And watching his family cry.
You know, sometimes we underestimate God's ability to use the cloud of witnesses in our lives. Every single one of us has a loved one on the other side. Every single one of us is not aware of their capacity when they're anointed of God to do a work for Him on our behalf.
There were times in my life where that
awareness of their ability to do something for me that nobody else could do gave me hope for my tomorrows. Because there wasn't a great deal of hope left inside of me because of the hurt and the pain. So I want to quote to you when in Matthew chapter 16, there is a conversation going on between our Lord and He's talking to Peter. So let's go there. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets."
Why would these people be declaring that the man that is standing before them has the spirit of one of their greats?
If they didn't believe in the resurrection and in the spirit reality of those that went before them. You see, it was a very common thing in our Lord's
disciples' way of thinking. They were knowing that they were connected with the spirits of those that had gone before them.
And we in the church canceled them out because it's spooky. Why? Scripture doesn't say that. I could take you to Hebrews and show you, but that's not the press. The press is to show you their mindsets. They were aware that there was a cloud of witnesses around them all the time. They were aware that the spirits of these that were made perfect in Christ were available to them to help them out when they needed it, even though they were not told to ask for it. But they were conscious of their reality. Otherwise, the people would not have been speaking what they were speaking about Jesus. So again, they replied. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. By this time, John the Baptist is dead. And still others, Jeremiah and other, the one of the prophets. So they've got a whole array of people with all kinds of ideas as to who Christ is. But what about you, He says? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man." Revelation can come to you from the Father God anytime He chooses to download something on you.
If He pushes that button and says, "Let him or her see my plan for them,"
what happens? You get a different mindset. You begin to think differently. Instead of feeling the boo-hoos about yourself.
How many of you have ever had the boo-boos, the boo-hoos and the boo-boos? They come together, don't they? And we get to the depression, and we get to hurt.
And today, there was a young lady that, when I went over to anoint her, I felt the pain in her heart.
And I said, "Oh my God, this girl's falling apart. She needs a Valentine." And we agreed.
We agreed in prayer. And it didn't stop the pain right away. The pain still continues. Why?
Because the pain goes deep. Okay?
Valentine's Day is a wonderful day. If you're all set and everything's happening well with all of your relationships.
Well, Valentine's Day can be the damnedest day of the year if you've just lost the one you love. Or you believe he's lost or she's lost.
Amen? See, it's how you believe. Watch this. "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," which means rock, by the way. Any Frenchmen around? If you transform the word Peter, you get rock. "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom." If you haven't got a circle around "of," I would suggest you take your pencil and make a circle around the word "of the kingdom." Because it's going to change your strategy today.
It's not the keys to the kingdom. It's the keys of the kingdom.
It's revelation knowledge that's needed. It's revelation about who you are.
And who and what is actually in store for your future. There's a ground assault that I'm after today. And the Lord had me press in.
So I'm going to read to you something that I pray will awaken you to a new way of thinking.
"We must also launch a ground assault, enforcing the victory over the ground of the earthly Adamic nature. For once the enemy is routed, once the heavens are wide open, we must then establish a new regime, a new government in the earthly realm." Matthew 16. "I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to say a little prayer with me. Say, "Lord Jesus, open my heart.
Open my spiritual ears.
Open my spiritual eyes.
Open my spirit to perceive
who I really am.
So that I'll understand
the keys of the kingdom
rather than the keys to."
I want you to keep your eyes closed. I want you to hear these words. Notice that these are keys of the kingdom, not to the kingdom.
They do not unlock the kingdom of heaven. Rather, the keys represent authority in binding and loosing on earth. The word translated as bind is deo. In Greek, it means to bind, to knit, to tie, or to wind. It is closely related to dei, which means it is necessary as a binding. Needful. Also, when it says, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, the Greek is a perfect passive participle, meaning that things are in a state of having been already in the heavenlies. Now, when we're talking about the cloud of witnesses, they're aware of what you're going through. The ones that are in charge of overseeing you are aware of what you're entering into. We are to discern not by natural observation or common sense, but by revelation that comes from an intimate relationship and the purpose and the will of God, which is already established in the heavens. As we manifest the nature of Christ and declare that revealed purpose, we are binding on earth that which is already in the heavenlies. Did you hear that? Just by your reality, you're standing firm. You are part of that kingdom which is eternal. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now then, we can declare one thing and live something else. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So you can say all these things, but your lifestyle and your actions are doing and releasing a different truth to God and to the cloud of witnesses. We are to be the revelation of Jesus Christ on earth and in the earth. Say, I am to be the revelation of Jesus in the earth. And I do this binding, not just by my words, but by who I manifest in the lives of others and in the lives of those around me. See, we're talking about the Word again. I spoke to you about the Word and the reality of He being born in us and He becoming flesh in us. And it's not something part-time. It is something full-time. I guarantee you, Psalm 119, verse 89 says, and just as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in a body of Jesus Christ, so we are also becoming the Word and being made flesh. Why? When I say we are to become the Word being made flesh, I am speaking of the engrafted Word, Christ, which has the power to bring us into a full salvation. James chapter 1, verse 21, also is going to take you a little deeper. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Why is it that my soul needs to be saved? Because it's full of what? It's full of lies. It's full of deception. The way I think, the way I act, the way I react, it's full of the world. It's full of earthly things. And now, because you're born again, you are being changed. You are being engrafted with His Word and growing and maturing in that knowledge. And as you do, you irritate those around you. Your light is hurting their eyes. I should have heard an amen.
Amen.
How many of you have ever seen how you react when you come into a space of unbelievers? And you just walked in. You didn't say one word. Just the manifest presence of who you are irritates the enemy. And they shuffle. They shuffle away from you. And you wonder, what's wrong with me?
Amen.
Yes or no?
Yes.
That's the manifestation of who you are.
When you realize, oh my God, I'm having this kind of an effect. Yes, you are. You say, oh my God, this is not normal. You're absolutely right. You're heavenly, living in an earth realm, and they can't stand your guts. And it hurts. And we feel rejected. And in the enemy is sitting on your shoulder many times, whispering in your ear. I thought you were a believer. Let's go back. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound. Bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. My God, look at the reality that just by your being here, you are such an irritation to the darkness that they can't stand you. And what do? You go by the emotions and you run away.
Amen.
Yeah. It hurts too much. I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't know if I can stay becoming a believer because it's too tough. Now, you never think that way, but I have. Verse 21 is very important. We're back in Matthew 16, in case you forgot. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And on the day, or the third day, be raised to life. On the third day, be raised to life. So, have they got an excuse that they didn't figure out what happened to him? No. He told them plainly. This is roughly 6 to 7 months before Passover. Before he was actually arrested. Okay? Actually, you could put the time slot at the, for chapter 17 is the transfiguration, so you know that they're ready to celebrate tabernacles. Because, obviously, Peter's on the job again, wants to build some booths. So you know what feast that is. But again, he's telling them, I must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. How come they couldn't remember that? Blocked out. How many of you ever had a word of knowledge that was given to you and it got blocked out because the enemy don't want you to remember it? Thank you. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost says, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? And you say, oh yeah, I remember now. Why couldn't I remember when I was hurting so bad? Because the enemy was what? Capturing your brain. And in case you forgot, your brain was actually orchestrated and prepared by the earthly realm. Why is it so hard to put the new information in? It's because you're full of the old. Now that doesn't happen to some people, but it did for me. Then Peter took him aside. I love this verse 22. Peter took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. Oh, boy, have I got a revelation for you, Lord. There's no way you're going to get yourself killed. It is not going to happen while I'm around. In fact, I have a sword being prepared right now. How many of you have had a sword to get rid of their enemy? And if you only realize just by being you, they can't stand you and they're ready to run just as you magnify Jesus, as you lift your hands up, as you say, there's a flow of living water that explodes in the heavens. It begins to fill you back up. Because then you put on the mind of Christ instead of your cotton-picking brain that'll do the same thing that it did to Peter. How many can relate to Peter? Think about this. He took him aside. He was so politically correct. He didn't want to expose Jesus to all the other disciples. He's got a plan for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Did you ever have a plan for somebody you love?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a plan that you're going to save them from themselves? I mean, after all, they're heading for what? Crucifixion? No way! So again, Peter took him aside, so politically correct, and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Coming straight out of heaven, right? Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind and the things of God, but the things of men." How come that was a problem 2,000 years ago and it's still running wild today? How come? Because we are earthly minded and we are carnally controlled. Instead of being spiritually minded like Jesus was, waiting for the moment that Papa would say, "Are you ready to lay it down?" A few weeks ago, a person was on the phone with me and they were talking to me about how do I stand up to this garbage. And I said, "Just be yourself." But I'd like to teach him a lesson or two. How about being who you are and just be holy before them? How about just shutting your mouth and be holy before them? And the more that you are holy, the more you irritate the enemy. Amen?
Amen?
And the more you try to defend yourself, what happens? You'll end up like Peter with a great plan from heaven coming straight out of hell. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Mind, will, and emotions. That's what your soul is. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory, with his angels." There's your cloud of witnesses again. "And then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." What am I saying? What am I saying to me? I don't need to be afraid of the enemy. He's already afraid of me. I don't have to shout and scream and bind and yell and scream. And I did that for a season. And you know what it was? It was religious teaching. If it's not ordained of my Father and he didn't tell me to do it, then I'm wasting my breath and doing a lot of religious warfare, getting very tired for no reason. If I simply radiate Christ, radiate His Word out of my being, everything around me will change. And the bugs will start saying, "Wait a minute, it's too hot around here. I'm moving out." Close your eyes, put your hand over your heart. Holy Spirit, you heard these words because I believe you gave them to me. And now I ask that you would confirm them so that they will see and begin to comprehend how important they are.
how full of light they are and how much of an irritation they are to the darkness? Just by being who they are. The Word of God manifesting in their flesh everywhere they go. Every step that they go forward is holy ground. Everyone they touch, they cancel the darkness. They cancel the occult. They cancel the plan of the enemy. Everywhere they are present, the power and the manifest glory of God is present until you radiate through them resurrection power into those that are hurting even more than them. So, Father, I thank you that you will use this word to give them courage in this new day where they know that they're not alone, where they're convinced that the cloud of witnesses is all around them, and that those saints that have been prepared by heaven to intercede on their behalf, along with Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly realms as the great intercessor, with all of those that have been charged to protect and unfold the plan of God for their lives. In Jesus' name. Yes, dear. Hold on.
I
yes,
was just thinking about what you said about the bugs running away from the light.
Yep.
But you also have those who are drawn to the light, like the moths.
Yes.
So they're not all going to run away. Some of them will be drawn to the light of Jesus.
Some will be drawn to the Lord in you. Yes. Absolutely right. Excellent addition.
And the more we concentrate on pouring out the light from us, the more our minds will be concentrated on the Lord, and He'll have more authority to remove the carnality so that more light can flow.
Amen. Where have you been?
Amen.
Don't forgive me for teasing you, but that's the absolute truth. Exactly. The more you realize who you are in Christ, the more you see the plan of the Father. Now, you know, the plan of the Father doesn't cancel the plan of the enemy. He's still going to try. But you know what? He hasn't got a leg to stand. He doesn't have a leg to stand on. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't bring facts before you. You know what I mean about that?
Well, if you are the Son of Man, go ahead, throw yourself down. And this cloud of witnesses are going to come and just save you and pick you up. One word off. Right? Go ahead. Tempt God. If you are the Son of God, why can't He let you eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and be like God? I don't want to be like God. Amen? He fell for it. Come on. Jesus didn't. That's the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam watched his wife goof. And he goofed with her by choice because he didn't open up and say, wait a minute. And she didn't see because she wanted to be like the Most High. That's a wake up, huh? But it's the truth. See, the tempter hasn't changed his schedule. He just changes a couple words here and there. Come on, save yourself. Stop this activity. Bind the wrong man. Bind the strong man. Do what you need to do. Your presence is already doing it. And sometimes God will say, keep your mouth shut. You let your light shine a little brighter. And your Valentine's Day will be a little smarter. God bless you all. Share some hugs with each other.